Blog Talk Radio.
Fogarty's keyboard master drops by before launching another world tour. A rising British pop star comes in from London to chat with us. Plus, a surprise guest with some behind-the-scenes secrets of the music industry. It's all right here on Music Friday Live. Don't go away. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan. From Los Angeles, California, the music capital of America, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by Solar City, your source for clean, sustainable energy. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. Music Friday Live is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you, so call in at 347-215-7411. That's 347-215-7411. Or, you know, if you're sitting there at work and you got your earphones on and you can't really make a phone call and you aren't really paying attention to that PowerPoint on your screen, you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, we have a surprise guest, and here he is. This is John Hatch from iStandard. He's going to join us for a few minutes to give us a behind-the-scenes look at the producer-artist mating dance. John, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you quite well, and thank you very much for being here. I loved being at your event Monday night in Los Angeles. Briefly, why don't you tell our audience what iStandard is and what you do?
Sure. iStandard is a live producer event across the country. We do about 80 events a year, 35-plus markets for music producers and songwriters. And we just try to find the most talented people in each city and put them in front of, you know, an esteemed, privileged panel of industry executives that give them great feedback, and we try to connect the industry with the new music producer, really.
Well, and you've been doing this for a few years now, haven't you?
Yeah, this is we're going into our 11th year in 2016. We also have this Beat Camp program, which is a large weekend of, you know, just your favorite producers coming out, teaching you how to get better at your craft at the SAEs across the country. So that's also something we do along lines of the actual showcase itself. So we do quite a bit for the producer community.
Well, you know, I was talking to producers at the event Monday night, and they said that iStandard is kind of a music family, sort of a national music family. So congratulations on doing that. Now,
thank you.
I saw rap artists Monday. Do you only work with rappers and hip-hop bands, or are you broader than that?
Oh, very broad. There was also a pop artist named Poison Ivy that performed as well during the halftime, and an R&B artist named Chocolate that also performed. So most of our producers are in the urban market, but they're also very top 40, R&B and hip-hop as well. So we cover quite a spectrum of producers and writers.
Well, as I said at the beginning of the show, L.A. is the music capital of the country, so I guess you're going to be doing more events here in Los Angeles. Is that right?
Yeah, we do about 5 or 6 a year, and I also manage a producer by the name of Focus, who just did 6 records on Dr. Dre's new album. So we're in L.A. quite a bit due to him and just our workload in general. So love L.A., love the energy out there, and it's definitely a great place for music connections.
Well, we love it when you're here. Now, how do bands and producers and other people from the industry get involved?
Well, they can do one of two things. So they can actually first follow us on our social medias, at iStandard. That's the letter I, Standard, on both Instagram and Twitter. And they can go to our website, iStandardProducers.com, and check out our blog as well as our calendar of events and just a lot of different stuff that you can kind of absorb that will let you know about our entire spectrum, what we do as a coalition.
Now, when bands want to get involved in this, is there a fee for people to be on your events?
Yeah, there is a fee. They do get some tickets to sell or give away to their friends. It's basically an investment. You know, it took us 11 years to get to where we are, so we share our relationships with people that come out to the event. So it's just like any other investment you want to make in your career. But, you know, we have results. We've placed many records with many major label artists. We have a lot of success to our show, or else we wouldn't be doing it for 11 years. So we're kind of like the Cadillac of events, I guess you could say.
Can you name some of the artists who have emerged from iStandard?
Yeah, absolutely. S1, who produced Kanye West's Power, produced 6 records on Madonna's latest album. You know, he's got 3 Grammys now. He won his first showcase with us after losing 4. Cardiac, who also received a Grammy on Eminem's new album. M Phases and Frequency also, who got Grammys through Eminem's new album as well as Rihanna's last album. There's quite a few producers that have kind of come up, you know, built relationships, been in the right place at the right time, and along with their talent and their networking capacity, have really been able to build relationships to, I guess, extend them, you know, throughout the music industry.
Well, that is a spectacular record, and I'm really glad you're here, and I'm really glad I found out about it, and thank you so much for having me at the event here in Los Angeles, and I look forward to going for more, which reminds me, I should ask you, is there an email list that people can join so they know about your upcoming events?
Yeah, if they go to iStandardProducers.com, there's actually an email list you can join, but I definitely suggest following us on one of our social networks just because there's so much other information that also goes out and may not go out through an email blast. We communicate quite a bit through our social media to people and engage with our fans, so if you follow us on iStandard on either Instagram or Twitter, you'll see quite a bit of information come through about events, tips, you know, special entertainment information. It's pretty thorough.
Okay. All right. Well, I want everybody out there who's really interested in music, and of course you wouldn't be listening to this show if you weren't interested in music, to check out iStandard. And when there's an event in your city, they're in 35 cities, so one will be in your city. Go, because it's a lot of fun. You'll get to see a lot of new talent. You'll get to rub shoulders with people from the industry, and maybe you can join this great national family. John, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time from what I know is a pretty busy day.
No problem. Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate you coming out to the event. Appreciate you focusing on us during the show.
All right. Bye-bye now. We have to take a break now. We have to take a break now, and when we return, Bob Malone, keyboard player extraordinary, is going to be with us. So don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
Well, we are tracking Bob Malone down. He's in Texas right now. In fact, he just announced 2 new shows, so it's going to take us a minute or two to track him down. Well, we talked to him this morning. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you a little sample of the Bob Malone music that you're going to hear. Don't go away. This is Bob Malone's Don't Threaten Me. A little bit of time. Just a little sample of the kind of blues that Bob Malone delivers. And you know what? He's with us now. But first of all, let me just introduce him a little bit. Bob Malone is a perpetual motion machine. He does an average of 100 solo shows a year. He tours and records with John Fogerty. With the Fogerty Band, he's provided music to TV shows like Dr. Phil and Rachel Ray. He's been on TV himself. With the Fogerty Band, he shared stages with rock and blues legends like Bruce Springsteen, Jimmy Buffett, Ricky Lee Jones. He's recorded 7 albums and recently released his 8th, Mojo Deluxe. And he still has enough energy to talk with us on Music Friday Live. I'm exhausted just introducing him, but I'm very happy and very proud to be able to say the words, Bob Malone, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Good to be here.
Well, Bob, before we get too far afield, let's talk about the new album. Now, I understand that you released it first in the United Kingdom. Is that correct?
I released an EP in the UK last year, which is basically half of this record. So
okay.
The whole thing's just coming out now, yeah.
It's now available on your website here and worldwide, is that correct?
Everywhere, yeah. Stores.
Good.
iTunes, Amazon, streaming, however you like it.
Okay, all right. Well, at 13 songs, this is a serious endeavor. Was this years in the making?
I guess a couple of years. We finished it last year, and we were mixing it, and we just got a little bit behind for this UK tour that I was doing. So that's why I did the EP. But basically, we wrapped it up at the end of last year. And then, really gave it some time to release this year, so that there was a nice long ramp for promotion, basically.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to do it, because it is a fabulous album. And I want to play a cut from one of the songs. This is Toxic Love.
Ain't got the need, 'cause I got you. Baby, I got you. I ain't got alcohol or amphetamine. Ain't got no control of my thoughts and dreams. But I got you.
I just love the beat and also the way your piano is so subtle at first and adds little flashes of gold to the guitar and the bass and then really cranks on. Was the timing hard to get right on that, when to weave in with the guitar and when to really crank the keys?
No, we were just playing. You know, Mike Baird played drums on that, and like, his groove is just so magic that, you know, it all really fell into place in a couple of takes.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. Now, you wrote that with Bob DeMarco, is that correct?
Yeah. I pretty much had the song, and it was quite a different kind of song. You know, it was like this kind of jazzy thing, same lyrics. And he was like, you know, the music doesn't really match up to the lyrics. Lyrics are dark, and the music is kind of not dark. So we sat down and changed it into what it is now, basically.
Well, the lyrics in there, dark as they are kind of current. I like the line in there that says, I ain't got politics, I ain't got porn. If life's just dying slow, then I've been reborn, because I got you, yeah, I got you. What was the inspiration for those lines and for the whole song?
I don't know. You know, it's basically a song about how you can turn anything into addiction. You know, it can be a person, you know, it can be anything bad for you can be turned into an addiction. It doesn't really matter what it is. Like, all of those things can become an addictive thing that's not good for you.
But, you know,
and a person can too. Yeah. You know?
Sometimes things that are good for you can turn into an addiction, too.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, it's a list of all the ways you can self-destruct if you have those kind of tendencies, which I do.
Don't we all? I wanted to ask you, your label is called Born Too Late Music. Is that kind of an inside joke?
Oh, that's not my label. That's my publishing company. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I've always said I was born too late. This seems like everything I love happened before I was born. Most of my favorite artists, yeah. Not all, but many of them.
Okay, all
so,
right.
So, yeah, it's kind of an inside joke. And it was also my last record was called, not my last, two records ago was an album I did called Born Too Late. I basically, I mean, the boring minutiae is I switched over to a new performing rights organization. I had to change the name of my publishing company, so that was it.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Well, I want to play a little bit more of your music. Again, sort of darkish here. I'm Not Fine. It's one I could listen to all day long. You know, that song, at least to me, maybe not to you, but at least to me, it kind of sums up the way many of us relate to each other, sort of feigned concern, polite lack of care, the social grease that that lubricates us. But there are lyrics in there, and I listened to this song several times, and they ask an interesting question. They ask the question, you can stick with your illusions, or I can tell you everything. I'm not fine, thanks for asking. You know, anybody who tours like you do and produces as much as you do, you encounter thousands of people every year, most of whom you don't know, and yet you depend on. Are you and they better off with your illusions that you just use the social grease or?
Yeah, I mean, most people don't really want to know me, which is fine. You know, they should just enjoy the work that I do. You know, the people that truly know me, you know. They know I'm a handful. Plus, I can't open myself up to everyone. That's the thing. It's exhausting to, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm not, I know extroverted people who literally can interact with hundreds of people all constantly and have no, and it never wears them down. Like, they just can't get enough of it. I love people. I certainly appreciate my fans and all that, but I can only talk to people for so long before I'm just exhausted by the whole thing.
Well, I hope you can talk for at least 20 minutes on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing is, you know, people see you on stage and they see your life and it looks pretty glamorous to them. And it really isn't. I would never sit and complain about it because it's a great job, you know, but it's nothing like anyone thinks it is. And even take away the performer part for any person, their life is nothing like people think it is. You know, it doesn't really just apply to me or to a person on stage or whatever. It applies to everyone. I think everyone's surrounded by people who have misconceptions about them, and they would rather have those misconceptions because it makes everything go easier.
Well, I think you've expressed that very well in that song. We are talking with Bob Malone about his new EP, Mojo Deluxe, which is now released and available in worldwide. And you can talk with him. You can call us at 347. Right. You can call
this
him.
This is the whole album.
Okay. All right. And you can email, too. You can email at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And we do have some emails here for you. Ronnie in L.A., what is your favorite keyboard instrument? Do you prefer a real piano or do you prefer electronics?
I prefer a real piano. Piano is my favorite instrument of them all. And, yeah, I love to play the piano. I always have.
Well, we have several people.
So when I can get one, I always use it.
We have several people here who emailed in. They wanted to know, did you originally learn to play the piano, and how old were you?
Yeah, I started I had classical tuning started when I was 9. And then later on, I was corrupted by rock and roll, like so many other people. But yeah, I had the full, all the training. Yeah, I had the whole thing. I can still play some Beethoven.
Well, that, you know, I know another jazz singer, Irene Diaz, who has the same trajectory as you do, studied 18 years in the classical piano and then discovered Etta James. And every now and then she sneaks some Beethoven into her her act, and everybody loves it. So, you know.
Yeah, I do, too. I always sneak a little classical bit in, and people always dig it.
Well, I know you're calling
from
Texas.
It's always unexpected.
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's what makes it fun. I know you're calling from Texas, and you're on tour. And I looked at your schedule this week. You're in Houston tomorrow night. You're in Katy the next night. 2 days later, you're back in Austin. You just added more dates. You get a few days off, then you go to Colorado, and then you head out to the UK. And you've been doing this for 20 years. Where do you get all of this energy?
Oh, I don't know. People ask me that all the time. It's just my job. I don't know anything else, so I'm not sure. Because, I think the most important thing about touring is to try to pace yourself if you can. You know, I mean, this year's been kind of extra busy. It's been busier since the Fogarty gig came along 5 years ago. I've been doing both his tour and my tour, so it's made the schedule a lot more. It's just one thing after another, which is great. It's good to be working, but I've always tried to have some balance between being home and being away. If you can go home even for a week or two and recharge your batteries, have a normal life at home for a second, you know, or a month or whatever, it makes it a lot easier to do this. You have the energy. You really start to lose the energy. You never get to go home.
Well, I've heard some musicians I've had on the show say, home is where the hotel is. Now, what city am I in? So I understand what
yeah,
you mean.
Yeah, there's that too, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I try not to let it get that bad, but sometimes it does.
Well, Placid in Austin has emailed, Austin, are you here? Where? When?
Oh, I'm at Saxon Pub on Tuesday at 8:00, Tuesday the 22nd.
Okay,
Saxon
got that.
Pub. It's a legendary right. Saxon Pub. Yeah.
Placid, be there and bring all of your friends with you, because it's probably going to be a sold out.
Bring all your friends, 8:00, 22nd.
And get your tickets in advance, because it's going to be sold out, as we both know. Well, here's a song that at first listen seems light years away from the high-energy, hard-rocking blues and R&B that you're known for. So let's listen to a little bit of This Is Paris.
City of wonder, city of light, the old Eiffel Tower shines into the night. I guess everything they say about this town is true. But Paris is just another city.
Well, the first thing that hit me about that song is just how true and wonderful your voice is. And the second thing that hit me is there's some lines in there. The dark, crooked alleys and Parisian cobblestones don't hold much charm for the man who walks alone. I just can't wait to hang up my traveling shoes. Is that really true?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, it was true at the moment. And, whenever I'm away, I can't wait to be home. And when I'm home, I look forward to leaving again. You know, it's human nature, pretty much.
But when
I'm away, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be home. It's going to be great. And the whole thing was about missing my wife, who usually comes to Paris with me, but on this trip she didn't. The song came out of that. It's very romantic there.
It
when
is.
You're there with your loved one. But when you're there by yourself, it's totally different.
Yeah,
it's
no, you're
just
absolutely
there
right.
Pointing out to you how you're alone, you know.
Well, you certainly encapsulated that in the song beautifully. And as I listened to the album, that one just kind of glowed all by itself. And I think it's wonderful.
Oh, cool.
Now, I read about an incident in your life which we can describe as the People's Democratic Republic of Iguanaland, which we have all these little minions around here who do research and bring me tidbits, and I wonder if you could actually what it is you're taking your time to talk to me, so we need to take our time to ask you intelligent questions, or at least think we are. Do you want to tell us about the People's Democratic Republic of Iguanaland and how it impacted your career?
The Iguana Cafe was this really wonderful place in Los Angeles that they closed, I guess, 94 or something. I moved there in 91, and, you know, I didn't really know, and I knew two people, and I had no gigs, and I just moved from the East Coast to L.A., and I just stumbled upon this place, and I remember walking in, and it was open mic night. Now, open mic night is usually this thing where marginally talented people get up and sing, and this was nothing like that. It was everybody who got up was super talented, and it was just a scene there. It was all these great performers and this little room with books lining the walls, and it was the Iguana, and it was a great, and so I got up to this thing, and everyone was really cool, and I was not really cool, and I went up and I did what at the time was probably the only, I'd been writing songs, but it was probably the first decent song I'd written, and I got up and played that, not really knowing if I had any validity at that sort of thing or not, and I got up there and played the song, everyone dug it, that to me, it was like a really validating moment for me, and it, you know, in that place, in the very beginning, early years of me being a young singer-songwriter player in Los Angeles, it was a real encouraging place for me to be.
Did the Iguana impact your career? Is that what drew you to Los Angeles?
No, I didn't know about it or anything. I just happened upon it when I got there. It was nothing like that. It was just, I was in L.A. looking for a place to play, and I just found it. And it was very early on. I'd been there maybe a couple of weeks.
So why did you decide to settle in Los Angeles?
Well, because it was warm. You know, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, and I was, and New York was the place where we cut our teeth as musicians. And I was living in I went to school up in Boston, and another New England winter was coming, and I just, I was either going to go to New York or I was going to go to this magical place, Los Angeles, where, you know, that looked so great on TV. So I just basically took, and also my roommate and drummer in my band that had broken up was from California, and he was convincing me, we got to move to California. So we were going to move there. His girlfriend went out there a couple of months before, got an apartment, got a job. And the day before leaving, he calls and says he's not going. And he never went.
Oh.
But I went alone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and my best friend was already out there, too. He'd gone out like a couple of years before.
Well,
he was like, man,
we're glad
you
did.
Gotta move out here. It's great. So,
we're glad
I've been there a long time.
You know, I don't normally think of sun and surf and convertibles as material for blues, but obviously in your case it is. So we're really glad we're really glad you're here. Well, we're just about out of time, but I want to play a little bit of one other song, which I think, well, we'll just play a little bit of it and come back and talk. This is Don't Threaten Me.
Don't
I love the title and the old pitch of that song. Don't threaten me with a good time. Sounds like L.A. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It was said to me by somebody there, and I'm like, "There's a song. That
I know.
Must be turned into a song." Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, before I start rhapsodizing about Los Angeles and how lucky we are to have you as part of it, I've got to say that we are unfortunately out of time. So I want to thank you so much for taking a break. I know this is a really busy time for you, so thank you so much for taking a break to talk to us.
No really problem. Thanks for having me on.
Real quick, let's tell the people in Texas and all those people from Texas who've been emailing in where you're going to be tomorrow night and the following night.
Tomorrow I'm at the Red Brick Tavern in Conroe, which is, Houston area. Sunday afternoon, I play at the Wildcatter Saloon in Katy, Texas. I'm not sure what that's going to be like. It sounds interesting. And then Tuesday, I'll be at Saxon Pub in Austin, Tuesday at 8.
Okay.
And then, and then I'm taking off. So please come populate the seats at my gigs. I would love to see you all.
Yeah, these are probably going to be...
And they're all on BobMalone.com.
Okay, all right.
But you go to BobMalone.com. It's all there.
All right, and your music is there too. So everybody follow him on Twitter, Instagram, and BobMalone.com. Thank you once again. We really appreciated the time and the great stories that you tell. Okay, we got to take a break We got to take a break right now. And when we return, Damien Ike is going to be with us, one of the UK's fastest rising pop stars. So don't go away. You're not going to want to miss this.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
We're back. This is Patrick O'Heffernan, your host on Music Friday Live, and we would like to hear from you. So, bonus 347-215-7511, or you can email us musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Word from our sponsor. We got a great sponsor, Solar City. You know, solar power is a huge win-win for homeowners. But I know that a lot of you out there are reluctant to take the plunge into solar, you know, because of the upfront cost. It costs money. Well, with Solar City, you can go solar for zero upfront costs on approved credit. That's right. Solar City will come out. They'll install the right solar system on your home for free. You only pay for the power you use. You know, just like the bills you get from the utility company, except they're a lot lower because the sun's making the energy for you. Solar City pays for the system. It insures the system and maintains the system. All you have to do is enjoy the savings. So if you have decided you're not ready for solar, or you are ready for solar, but solar's not ready for you, it is now at Solar City, America's number one clean energy provider. Now, how do you find out about it? Well, I'm going to give you a phone number. You knew I was going to give you a phone number because I always do, so you have your pencil ready. 909-618-6937. That's 909-618-6937. When somebody picks up the phone there, tell them I sent you and you will get a discount on your order. 909-618-6937. Well, I booked our next guest after listening to just one song. I tracked him down, found out that he was in London, but that he would be in New York for a short window of time, so I just had to have him on Music Friday Live. Now, for those of you who may not heard of Damien Ike, he's an emerging star in the pantheon of British homegrown talent, emphasis on the word talent. Damien Ike has already been featured on the British media, SBTV, BBC One Extra, Indie Shuffle, many, many other outlets. He's recently released his first online single, Kingdom Come, which placed at number 3 on the Hype Machine music chart. Well, he's in New York now, and I think it's time to introduce him more broadly to American audiences, which I am proud to do right here on Music Friday Live. Damien, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm even better now that I'm hearing your voice.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, I understand that this is not your first time in the U.S., but this is your first time playing here. Where are you playing?
So I'm not playing here. I'm actually just writing and recording out here, but it's my first time doing any sort of music thing out in New York.
Okay. All right. Too bad. You just disappointed all of our New York listeners.
I'm sorry.
You were checking the schedule at Joe's Pub and saying, when is he going to be on? All right.
No. Hopefully, early next year, I'll probably be doing some shows in New York and L.A.
Okay. Oh, good. Well, why are you here? What do you hope will happen on this trip? Some people say you should get at least a full album out on the UK charts before you tackle the huge American music market. But it sounds like you're here because you've got a good producer. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been lucky with the music going well in the UK that some of the music execs out here have heard it and wanted to meet with me and set me up with some of their producers and songwriters and stuff like that. So it's been really good. It's different. I've never really worked with any American producers or songwriters to do co-write and stuff like that. It's always been quite British based. So it's interesting to come over and see what it's all about. And I may not use the songs that we work with, I write out here, but it's just always great to have that experience and say that I was able to come over here and work with some of the best songwriters and producers in America, really.
Well, we are good, but as you found out, we talk funny. Based on your first online uploaded song, you should have little trouble getting noticed. So I want to play a little bit of that song.
Like everything I've ever known, you disappear and I'm alone. If you can mend my broken bones, oh, you're my home. So kingdom come, oh, 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 darling, come home. Lose every day when you're walking by his side.
I love the introduction to that song, and I love how it sets up your lyrics and evolves into a very sophisticated pop anthem. Now, did you construct that from layered tracks, or is there a full band back there, or both?
So it's a bit both. I initially had I tend to really hone in on lyrics. That's my thing. So I had pretty much all of the lyrics before I got to the sessions with the two guys, and then we kind of worked on melody together, and they had somewhat of what they thought the track would sound like. We knew it would be quite tribal and quite heavily percussive, but once we'd kind of vocalized the whole song, most of it came together afterwards.
Well, you mentioned that the heavily percussive, and I got to say, I'm really impressed with the drumming. I study cajon, so I've got a little bit of an ear for drum.
Right.
I just study it. I didn't say I could play it. at least not in public where people can hear. But I'm very impressed with the way in which you arrange the drumming on that song. The percussion, first of all, it moves from side to side, takes full advantage of the stereo spectrum, and it really keeps the listener on her toes. Now, who's the drummer, and was it hard to arrange and produce something that sophisticated?
Do you know what? It's even harder to play it live than it is to play it on track.
I bet.
But I worked with a guy called Lost Boy and a guy called J-Mac, who they produced the track, and they played all the instruments on there. They're super talented, multi-instrumentalist. And we just took great inspiration from bands like Tears of Fears and Talk Talk and to more African artists like Feta Kuti, and it was just something I was really passionate about, and I knew I wanted the tracks to be really percussive, lots of drums, and just have that anthemic feel to it.
Well, since you mentioned Africanized, I know that your last name, Ike, is actually a shortened form of, I'm probably going to not say this right, Ikechukwu. I get that it's right?
Close. I've heard worse.
Okay, all right. which is a traditional Nigerian Igbo name, and it bears the meaning of God's power. Now, I've been to West Africa, and West Africa, for those who don't know, is a music powerhouse. I mean, everybody has a CD they want to sell you, and they're often really, really good, right? And they used to be the home of the festival, the Sands, where thousands of musicians all came together. So do you have roots still in Nigerian music or West African music?
Not really, but my family are quite heavily into music. My parents were born in Nigeria, and then they moved to the UK and had me there. But we're quite a traditional Nigerian family, so we listen to a lot of Nigerian music. It's still heavily in me, the culture. So, but I wouldn't say that any of my family members were like big Nigerian papayas or anything like that.
But
they weren't even local.
But you listened to West African music or Nigerian music as you were growing up?
Yeah, Fela Kuti, who obviously is not just in Africa, all around the world, is an amazing inspiration to people. And he really honed that kind of African pop sounding. You saw it 10, 15 years ago with people like Paul Simon. And to more modern day artists now, you're kind of hearing it in things like Florence and The Fowls, and even to an extent certain Coldplay records. It's that kind of feeling of being overwhelmed, but yet it's just really anthemic and tribal, and there's lots going on at once. So that's something we try to capture in my music.
Well, you do it, but you do it in a very sophisticated way, and for modern audiences. Although there are, in any given day, there's probably 5 or 6 West African bands touring the United States. An audience with that here. Yeah. Well, you said your influences, you mentioned a couple of them, Amy Winehouse, Kanye West, Peter Gabriel, Adele, Coldplay, etc., a wide variety. Have you ever played with any of the artists who inspire you?
No, I think I'd probably pass that. If I ever met Adele, I think I would. I've worked with people who have worked with Adele. I've worked with songwriters who've worked with Adele. The first thing I do is ask them about Adele. I'm not even interested in them. I'm kind of just like, so what did you guys have for lunch? And what did you talk about? And they're kind of thinking at me like, he's slightly weird. This is stalking. Good thing they don't leave their phone about, because probably will take her number out of their phone. Probably wouldn't, but. I've just always been inspired by Adele. I think she's just amazing. There's a real pure essence to her songwriting where I think sometimes when you songwrite, you don't want to be that personal, so you tend to use metaphors and you're not absolutely hitting the point as to what you want to say. Whereas with her, she's so real. She tells you exactly what she's going through, which is the most difficult quality to put, because at the end of the day, in her case, millions of people are going to listen to it, and in that moment you're telling them everything. I don't know, it's just something I think is just so amazing, and something I hope that I can recreate in my music as well.
Well, I have a feeling that's a possibility. Now, when you perform live, who's the band? Who's on stage with you?
It's a production. There's so many of us. So including me, there's 6 of us. We have a drummer, a percussionist, a keys, bass, guitar.
Oh, can I stop you right there? Can I stop you right there?
Go ahead.
A drummer and a percussionist. You have
drummer
two people
and a percussionist
banging on things.
It's so loud. It's absolutely so loud. And then top it off, the keys player. He also has a little percussive thing on his side. It's like a little tom and an electric drum pad. It's a lot going on, and it's really hard for us. Like, we've been doing quite a few support shows in London. We supported Mickey Echo in London. I don't know if you know Mickey. He did the song with Rihanna. I mean, amazing talent. And our band is so big. There's like I said, there's 6 of us. So I was so grateful for him to allow us to open for him, because it's logistically, it's a nightmare to get that many people on stage, off stage in 30 minutes. And
wow.
Him on.
Okay, all right.
And, well, it's a lot.
What stages does this nightmare take place on? Where have you played?
Oh, so we've only done one show. We did the one Mickey Echo show. And then, we're, like I said, just because we're trying to make sure we hit it right, I don't know, I feel like there's a tendency to kind of, especially in London, to overplay, and it we're just trying to make sure we line it up correctly. We've got another release coming out in November, so we're gonna put a few shows around there, and then we're hoping to do some shows in New York, LA, next year.
Well, when you come to LA, you have to be really careful you don't overplay, because there's about 300 venues in this town to play in. So.
But, I've got a few friends who played out in LA, and they always say it's amazing.
It is, which is why there's so many musicians here. Well, you've also released a second single called "Even in War." Kind of a powerful statement. I'm gonna play a little bit here.
I don't suffer no fools so gladly. They fought so hard for us kids. We got nothing left to struggle for. I bite my tongue to hold it in. I'm numb, I'll never be the same again. When it's said and done, it's been and gone.
Again, very sophisticated arranging, very sophisticated percussion, very sophisticated writing. You're really a standout songwriter.
Do you
hear those arrangements in your head as you write, or do you start with the arrangements and the sound and let them dictate the lyrics, or, you know, how does this work?
No, I start with the lyrics. I think sometimes you can get so lost in, oh, this sounds cool, and this sounds amazing, and this sounds African, or this sounds tribal, and then you have some shit lyrics, you have some terrible lyrics. And in this case, in my case, I always just try and really hone in on what I'm trying to say, what emotion I'm trying to create, and try and be really specific with the lyrics and go, I mentioned back with Adele, I really want people to know what exactly I'm feeling. And I don't know, that's just, for me, it's the lyrics are the most important. And then we kind of structure the song, and then we work on all the core brownie points afterwards.
When you say we, who is the we that's doing the song structuring?
So I work with a guy called Lost Boy and J-Mac. So I tend to do most of the lyrics before I come to the session with those two boys. And then we sit down and kind of come up with some kind, they normally come up with some kind of beat or something, and then we will structure that, and then we'll start playing everything live. So guitar, bass, keys, drums, then we track everything, and then I'll always lay the vocal, we'll put like a rough vocal down just to guide us, and then I'll lay the whole thing down like a week later once I've kind of learnt the track.
Is there a lot of experimentation, or are you really get it in just one or two or three takes?
Do you mean in terms of the writing or the vocaling?
Well, let's start with the writing.
I'm quite hard on myself. There's a fine line of being truthful, and there's a fine line of telling too much. And sometimes I'll write something and go, oh, that's too much. I think that nobody needs to know that. So I'll cross that out, and the boys will be like, no, that's really good. But I'll be like, no, it's about me at the end of the day. It's not about them. There are people, I'm not going to go, oh, yeah, J-Mac. But people are going to go, Damien said X, Y, Z. So if I feel like if it makes me uncomfortable, 9 times out of 10 is probably a good lyric, but it's a question of how uncomfortable it makes me. And then in terms of the actual music and vocalizing, we tend to go back and forth. It'll be, we should do this. Maybe we should go up an octave, or we should, lots of different ideas. We bounce across each other. I'm a bit more open to collaborative on that side. Whereas with the lyrics, I'm kind of like, it needs to be about this. This needs to be the lyrics.
We're talking with Damien Eich, who's currently holed up in New York doing a little recording. He's from London originally. You can talk with him. You can call in at 347-215-7511. Or you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And Damien, we are getting emails. People want to know more about you. Mostly, we are getting some emails from New York, and I'm going to read one of them. This is from Maxie, and Maxie's saying, what? You're in New York and you're not playing here? Come on.
I know. It's so funny because is Mercury Lounge, is that in New York?
Yeah, she's in New York.
No, I'm saying the Mercury Lounge, is that in New York?
Yeah, the Mercury Lounge is in New York, big place.
Yeah, somebody was telling me about it. Like, I met one of the promoters over there, and they were just saying, it's a really good venue, you should definitely come and play it. So I was like, I'll take a note and pass it on to our manager in New York. Hopefully, Maxi, we can come down and play there, or play somewhere.
Okay. Well, no, the Mercury Lounge is a very good place. There's a little cluster of venues in that part of New York, and I haven't been there in a long time, so I'm just sort of thinking about it. But, you can do that. So watch the dates on the Mercury Lounge, and we'll see how it is. How long are you going to be in town?
So I'm here. I've been here pretty much 2 weeks now, so I'll be here till the end of September. So it would have been a month in total.
Okay, well, good. All right, so you get a little little taste of fall. Monica in Miami says your music sounds a little bit Cuban. Is there a little bit of Cuban influence in your beats? Of course, she would say that. She's from Miami.
No, my best friend's Cuban. I don't know if she rubbed off on me. That's about as far as it goes. No, that's the first time I've ever heard that. But I love that. I'm glad people think that.
All right, now you're going to go listen to some Cuban music, huh?
I'm going to go listen to some Cuban music now.
Okay. You might check out Elston Torres, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Elston Torres, yes.
Two-time Grammy nominee. He knows what he's doing.
Wicked.
Ronnie in L.A. wants to know, what kind of drums do you have? Are they hand drums, or is there a full drum kit, or do you do lots of different kinds of things?
It's lots of different kinds of things. So when we play live, it's a full drum kit, but then we also have like track drums for like so certain things that we can't play live. So and that's all played through like track and a drum pad.
We have a number of emails here that essentially say the same thing, so I'm going to distill them, and that is your conversation about not wanting to get too personal in your lyrics, and many of these emails are pointing out that that's what singers are doing now, and that's what they're becoming famous for, is getting really personal in their lyrics. And you know, I would ask, are you going to be counter trend that? Or do you think eventually it's going to engulf you and you're just going to have to tell everything?
No, I think I'm quite personal with my lyrics, but there's always a line of how far do you go with that. And you hear Adele, Amy Winehouse talk about it all the time, that sometimes they have to sit down and go, that's too much. I'm giving away too much. Because at the end of the day, you have to live with it. You have to hear, in cases like Adele, you have to hear that record everywhere. And say, for example, you've been in a bad relationship and you speak about it in this record, and you go too far. You have to hear that every single day, wherever you go. So it's just a fine line, but I like to think I'm really honest in my music. Kingdom Come is, to me, is so pure and so honest. I think it strikes right on the fine line of I haven't gone too far. There's nothing in there, but my mum's going to be like, Damien, you sure you should have said that, or embarrass my family or embarrass my friends? You know what I mean?
Of course, a lot of people are able to write lyrics that are so coded that only a very few people actually know what they are. Well, you mentioned
exactly.
Kingdom Come, and I was going to ask you about this. That's obviously a biblical reference. What is it doesn't sound like a biblical song or a gospel song.
Yeah.
What was the genesis of that? What's the inspiration there?
Well, I always try and come up with different names for songs. I feel like we as artists, we tend to write the same songs, but we just do it in a different way. We tell the same story in a different way. And it's a story of just really being yourself, and how that no matter whatever you go through in life, that nobody really will know you better than you know yourself. So you really do have to have your own back. And the best place that you feel relaxed and you feel your true authentic self is at home, and that's why I say Kingdom Come Home. Really come home and be this person you want to be.
Okay,
and that's pretty much what the song's about.
I like that.
There's a spiritual element in there.
Of course. Now, I have seen or read that you have called your music big and in your face but emotive. You like to use anthemic choir sounds or backup singers.
Yep.
Are you sitting at the board with your headphones on, you're listening to the takes, is one of the questions that goes through your mind, will this create that feeling of big space and power?
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%. Sometimes I have to say to myself, maybe we should rein it in. It's too big. Because sometimes it becomes so big that all it is noise. You lose that kind of hair standing moment or pimple raising moment. Do you know what I mean? It just becomes actual noise and it's like too much. But then there's a fine line to the point where it's like, it's spiritual, it's bold, it's kind of like, you know that feeling you get when you stand at the edge of a cliff and you're just like, not that I've ever done that before, but I envision that feeling would be, it's just kind of something bigger than yourself, bigger than that moment. And that's kind of what we try and create with the music. Just really something that kind of transports you from just listening to a record. You start thinking about, where's my relationship going? Where's my life going? Where's just all these different things. That's, I really hope that people take that with them when they're listening to the records.
Well, I did, and you know, I could be listening to it now, so it would take me away from the sounds of New York City that we're hearing in the background there. All right. Now, you have an outstanding song on the charts in the UK, and you know, pardon my saying this, but you're following a well-worn path to the United States. But the U.S., particularly Los Angeles, is famous for top producers, many of whom, frankly, have decamped from London. And British artists like, say, Athena, who was on the show last week, come here to produce and work with producers here. Now, you're doing that now in New York. Do you see yourself coming back and producing an entire album here in the U.S. for the U.S. market or for the world market?
Maybe. The thing with me, I think, is you can hear I'm British when you hear the music. People always say when you sing, you lose your accent, you lose your. But it doesn't seem to happen with me. When I sing, you can pretty much hear that I'm from London. Well, I think you can anyway. Everyone tells me that. I think even if I came to America to produce my album, I think it would still sound British. It would still sound like a British artist. That's what I'm hoping. As long as I don't mind where I make it, whether it's in LA, New York, because you, like I said, and like you've mentioned, there's so many amazing, talented people, producers and songwriters in the world, but most of them are based here in America. And if they can make me the best album, but yet I still keep what quintessentially Damien and I, it'd be great.
Well, we hope to see you here. Unfortunately, we've been having too much fun because we're out of time.
So it's a good thing.
Damien, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I know you're busy, so we really appreciate it. And real quick, in the minute we have 30 seconds we have left, where should people go to get your music?
So I'm all on social media. So and it's Damien Ike. So it's spelled D-A-M-I-E-N-I-K-E. And it's on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, everything. All over the place.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Damien Ike, keep your eye on this guy. He's going places on both sides of the Atlantic. Follow him on social media. Well, you've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartlebin. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. You can download this and other Music Friday programs as podcasts, and I know a lot of you do, at blogtalkradio.com. Now, we're going to take our final vacation of the year next week, so we're not going to be on the air next week. When you tune in, you'll get a classic Music Friday, one that you may have missed before, and you're really glad to hear. So go ahead and tune in, but it won't be me. You won't be able to call up and harass me. We're going to return to the air October 2nd. Check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we'll update you on the guests. We're working on one very special guest. So keep track of us on social media. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. We're going to leave you with Out of Your Head, which is a nice little song that features our last guests. Damien?
You spend all your days breaking down. Won't go out today, still laying down. If I call you again, will you make a sound?
So get.